Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now let's read it together, please. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the opportunity that we have, the health and the ability to be here today. Now, Lord, help us not waste that time that we've used today by being here, by not paying attention, not hearing what you have for us through the preaching of the word of God. Speak to our hearts. Help us to hear what you have for us today. And then help us to be obedient to what you want from us today. Now, Father, for this task to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. And then, Father, that same power, you would help us by hearing what we need to hear today and doing what we need to do. Father, one more thing. If there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that before they leave this room today, they would settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, please make sure that your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate. We'd appreciate that, because if it goes off during the service and we hear it, see these doors over here, the gray door over there, the gray door over there, ninja warriors will come flying out of there and drag you out and knife you to death. So help us, would you? Just turn them off, and that'll be a blessing. We'd appreciate that very much. Psalm 37, verse 23. I need you to keep your Bibles open in that passage of Psalms, please, this morning. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. When God orders our steps, that means directs them. That means he gives directions, we follow them. He says, you go this way, and we go that way. God says, now you need to stop and change directions, go this way. And it's God's directions, then he's ordered my steps to change and go this way. When God says the path that you're on is the wrong one, you need to turn around and go back the other way, that's God directing your steps. That's him ordering your steps. The point isn't that God gives you the orders. The point is he gives you the orders and you follow them. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I go that way because God tells me to go that way. How does he tell us to do that? With the Bible. The Word of God will tell you the direction you're supposed to go. Psalm 119, we quoted ever since we were children. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We think of that as a floodlight that shows us everything around us, or a spotlight that shows us down the trail. No, it's a simple little oil lamp they would hold in their hands as they would walk on a darkened path, and it would give them just enough illumination to take the next step. And just enough illumination to make sure they were on the right path. And thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And when the Bible gives you direction, you take it. Now that's what it means. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, directed by his word. And the man is a good man who takes that direction, who tells you, you need to go this way. Kind of like the joke about the preacher who's standing out on a wet, stormy night, standing out there by the edge of the bridge with a big sign says, the end is near, the end is near, the end is near. He kept waving it, and people kept driving past him, honking at him, and thinking, what is that crazy preacher out here standing there with a sign saying, the end is near, the end is near. Nobody paid attention. They just kept right on going across the bridge. After a while, his wife came out with an umbrella, and she said, maybe you should put on the sign, the bridge is out, the bridge is out. It's one thing to get directions, it's another thing to take them. Yes? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, look at that verse again. And it says, and he delighteth in his way. That's a twofold purpose there that tells us this. Listen, number one, if you'll let God direct the steps of your life, you will delight in that way that God has given you. To delight here, there's two words, delight's going to come up this morning. The word delight's going to come up twice this morning. This word here means you enjoy it. You know what it means really? It means you find pleasure in the life that you have. It's one thing to be alive. It's another thing to enjoy the life that you have. It's one thing to be, you know, say, well, you know, life's okay. It's another thing to think or to know that you have a wonderful life and you're glad that God's given it to you. That means you find purpose in life. See, ladies and gentlemen, people can find purpose for their life and live their entire life on the purpose that they establish, only to get to the end of the days or even down the road a ways and say, this isn't what I was looking for. I want to try something else. You know, you don't get a life but once. You get one shot at this thing. And if we blow our life and get to the end and say, oops, that was a mistake, you don't get another try. But even worse than that are people who just, they're just existing. They're alive. They get up, they go to work, they pay their bills, they do their duties, and they fulfill their functions. They have a few things that bring them some degree of pleasure, but they really don't have a life that has purpose, and they delight in the life that they have. The Bible says this, if you will let God order your steps and you will take the steps God has ordered for you, you will find a life worth living. You will find a life with purpose to it. You'll find a life with meaning. And even better than that, you will actually enjoy it. It's like when you have a little kid and you put something in front of him he's never eaten before. Usually it's a vegetable of some kind that's not fried. Though there's nothing wrong with fried vegetables. Can I get a witness on fried okra this morning? I mean, let's talk the reality of good food now. You put a vegetable in front of that kid he's never tried, and you say, eat those green beans. And he goes, oh, I'm not eating that. And you say, look, you're going to eat your green beans. Kind of like the old school days when they put something in front of you and you didn't want to eat it. You were allowed to sit there until you wanted to eat it. And the kid says, I'm not eating that. Have you even tried it? No, well, then you don't even have any idea. First time I saw squash, I thought, I'm not putting that in my mouth. I'm not eating that. There is no way I'm eating squash. The idea of squash is nasty. Then the way it looked like snot is what it looked like to me. I thought, there is no way I'm eating squash. Uh-uh. Then I was finally encouraged to eat it. How I was encouraged would probably get all my people thrown in jail, but I was encouraged to eat it. And I put it in my mouth, and I thought, wait a minute, that's actually pretty good. See, we think, well, if God tells me how to live my life, I mean, how am I really going to know? You're going to have to trust Him by faith on this, but I assure you, you will delight in the way God gives you. You will delight in the way God gives you. And here's how I know how. Because the Bible says so. It's that simple. And if I may testify for a moment this morning, I'm enjoying the way God has given me. Oh, I see, Pastor, because all the things of your life have turned out the way you wanted. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say everything that came my way is something I wanted or I enjoyed when it happened. But I found if it's on God's path, you will delight in the way He's given you as long as it's your steps are ordered by the Lord. But wait a minute, there's a twofold purpose to that verse. He delighted in His way also means this, God delights in the way that you take. Now, that doesn't weigh heavily with a lot of people, but it should. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Living a life that's pleasing to God. Where you know that the God of heaven looks down upon your life and He is pleased with what you do. So can I ask you this morning, is there anything for a child of God, is there anything more important to you than you finding purpose and enjoyment in life and knowing at the same time the God of heaven is pleased with what you're doing? That's big stuff right there. All I have to do is take the steps ordered by the Lord. That's all I have to do. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Now, I want you to back up a few verses in Psalm 37. There are five steps that you have to take. We'll not get to them all this morning. We'll take a few this morning and a few more over the next couple of weeks. But listen to me carefully. If you'll take these steps that He's given, Psalm 37, look at verse. Well, look at the passage. Psalm 37, please. Look there at verse number 3. Trust in the Lord, step number 1. Step 2, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Step 3, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Drop to verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Drop to verse 34. Wait on the Lord. About 12, 15 years ago, I taught on this in the scriptures here in our church, and I'm coming back to the theme. I'm not going to necessarily break any new ground with it, but I'm coming back to the theme on this thing because I want you to get this morning. I want you to understand something today. Not only did God tell us that we need to have our steps ordered by the Lord, He even told us what they were. Now, I want you to keep your Bibles open and follow this carefully this morning. First of all, about the steps of a good man. Trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, etc. First of all, notice this. They have to be taken in order. God is a God of order. You start with trusting in the Lord, and you end up with waiting on the Lord. But they have to be taken in order. You can't jump the gun and say, well, I want to get over to that part where you learn how to rest in the Lord. No, you got to start over here where you trust the Lord. You have to take, God is a God of order. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. Ladies and gentlemen, things are done in an orderly fashion. God is a God of order. And if you want this thing to work properly, you have to take the steps in the order that God gives you. Now, that's important. Number two. The ability to take the next step is found in taking the previous one, except for the first one, and we'll show you why in a moment. You say, well, I don't know if I could I actually commit my way unto the Lord? I'm not sure. No. If you've delighted in the Lord like you should and trusted Him like you ought to and delighted, you'll find your ability to commit the Lord is found in taking the previous steps. Don't skip anything here. You look ahead and you think, wait on the Lord. I know what that's supposed to mean. No, you don't. You need to start with trusting in the Lord and take the steps in the order God gives you. And you'll find the ability to take the next step is found in taking the previous one. And one more thing. If you get off track, go back to the first one. May I have to start my life all over again? No. Just go back to the basics. Isn't that what happens in personal revival in the life of a Christian? We just get back to the basics of the Christian life. People think it's so complicated. Well, when things get messed up in your life, you need intense counseling, and then you need to discover why all these things happen to you in your life. And then after you go through all those things, then you begin to peel your life back like an onion. No, you just get back to the basics. And the basic of everything in the Christian life is trusting in the Lord. That's where you start. And if you get off track on this thing, you go back here. That's why when you get right with God, after you've been out of the will of God for a long time, you go back to trusting God again. And then things start to work again in your life. And then you take the next step. Okay, are we clear then? So what are the steps of a good man? Well, step number one is trust in the Lord. Look at the verse, please, verse number 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, there is no help taking the first step. Because the first step is the most basic element of every relationship in life. Look at me. If you can't trust anybody in life, you're in trouble. Did you know that? And if you can't trust God, you have no hope this morning. I couldn't give that to you. I couldn't instill that in you. You say, well, that's my problem, Pastor. See, my problem is I don't trust. I have a hard time trusting. No, you don't. Did you think about that chair before you sat on it this morning? When you walked in, did you look at it and go, wonder what the weight limit is? Wonder who was sitting there before me. Wonder how clean these chairs are. Wonder where they bought them. I wonder if that metal frame is actually sturdy enough to hold me up. I think what I'll do is I'll just sit halfway for most of the service and then maybe just touch down once or twice and see how it goes. No, you just walked in and sat down in the chair. You didn't even think about it. See, the problem with this thing about people saying, well, I just don't trust anybody. I really have a hard time with trust. The truth is, you do trust someone. Unfortunately, for most people, they trust themselves more than they trust anybody else. And that person is a fool. And do you know why? Can you tell me this morning you've never disappointed yourself by anything you've ever done? You've never made a mistake? Look, folks, it's the first Sunday in March. How many of you still have New Year's resolutions that work and that you're still working on them? Most people, the average time for New Year's resolutions to last is less than a week. They're gone. You keep telling yourself, I will not eat those potato chips. I will not eat those potato chips. I will not eat those potato chips. And you walk by, first of all, you got them in the house. If you don't have them in the house, you're not going to have a problem. Unless you're going to get in the car and go get some. I mean, other than that, you're going to. But if you got them in the house, what happens when you walk by? The potato chips say, please, please think of the starving children in Africa. You've got to eat those potato chips. You can't just throw them out. I'll eat this last bag of potato chips. You've never disappointed yourself. You've never let yourself down. Yet, look at me. Yet I guarantee this morning there are people who continue to trust themselves above anything or anyone else while they say, I have a problem with trusting anybody but myself. And you've never let yourself down? Ladies and gentlemen, it does not say trust in mankind. It says trust in the Lord. Can we not acknowledge this morning that there is someone who is very trustworthy? When we talk about trusting God, you may think He's failed you, but I assure you He never has. I assure you, He does not make mistakes. He does not falter. He does not fail. There is no one who has ever failed trusting in God. There are people, no God has ever failed someone who has trusted in Him. But there are people who failed in their trust in God because they took that trust and they transferred it to someone or something else. Well, I used to trust the Lord. See, then this person did this. Well, then you trusted them over the Lord. The old illustration of Peter walking on the water and the disciples are in the ship and Jesus is walking across the top of the waves of the storm and they see Him and they cry out, oh, it's a ghost! And he's Jesus, no, it's me! And it's Peter. He says, Lord, bid me come to You on the water. And Jesus says, come. And he slides down off the top of that ship and right above the waves, his feet stop dry. And he starts to walk toward Jesus and the Bible says, when he saw the waves boisterous, took his eyes off Jesus, looked at the storm, he began to sink. But give Peter credit for this. When he began to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And Jesus was there in an instant and got him by the hand. The man's feet never got wet. And he walked with Jesus. They walked together back to the ship dry and got back in the ship again. And it worked because he got his eyes. Okay, you understand? I know it sounds good in society, and it'll probably even get you a reality TV program to say that somebody broke your heart, failed you, let you down, disappointed you, some person, individual, church, you know, whatever the case may be. That'll get you a lot of sympathy from people. But He's not asking you to trust anybody but Him here. He's just saying trust in the Lord and do good. But He's not going to help you make that step. That one you're going to have to make by faith. But what happens, Pastor, if I step out? I can't tell you what happens other than to say this. God has never failed anyone yet. We have failed on our end of it, but not His. Trust in the Lord, the Bible says, and do good. That's step number one. Now look here. If we'll take that first step now, listen, we're on the way. How can God order my steps if I don't trust Him enough to do what He says? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So the first one is God says, take the first step of trusting me enough to do what I tell you. Trust me enough to obey what I tell you to do. Trust me enough to change what I say you need to change. Trust me enough to do what I say you need to do. Trust me enough to stop doing the things you're not supposed to do. Trust me enough to know how it's going to work out. And God says that's the first of most important steps. See, look here. You cannot come to God and trust Christ for your salvation, unless you're willing to trust that God would give you that salvation without any payment or part on yours. It's a simple step of faith. But it's a step of faith that says, I'll trust what the Bible says. God tells me that if I trust Christ, He'll give me salvation. If I put my dependence upon Jesus Christ and His payment on the cross for my salvation, He'll give me salvation. It's a free gift. The Bible says so. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't have salvation until you're willing to trust Christ and Him alone to save you. It's a simple step of faith. You do it all the time. You ever sit there in your car, take the keys out, sit in the car, get it ready? Look at the ignition, put your hand on the steering wheel. Oh, heavenly car, I'm trusting You today. As I put this key in the ignition and I turn it, I'm trusting You today to start and to run and to take me to my appointed places today. And then you turn the key and you go, ah, there we go. Faithful once again. Faithful. And as you put it into gear, you think to yourself, what a faithful car I have. How wonderful this car is. How much is it? If it's a Ford, you just saw a miracle. And it's amazing to you how incredible it is. And you're just marveling in the trust you put in that automobile and how faithful that car was to you. You don't even think about it. It doesn't even cross your mind. Turn the key on. The only time you pay attention is when it doesn't start. When you turn the key and it goes, and that's it. We're talking about trusting God this morning, dear people. We're talking about someone who has not faltered or failed in anything he ever promised any of his people and backed it up by what he said. And God says, trust in the Lord and do good. Oh, could you look at that verse again, please, and notice he gives you a couple of promises that go with this trust. He says, and thou shalt, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Dwell in the land. See, it's a nomadic people in those days. He said, I'll give you some permanence in your life. Permanence. Stuff that people can't take away from you. Permanence. Well, I lost a job. Now, that can be taken away from you. But the fact that you get another one is God's provision. He said, and you'll be fed. That's provision. Permanence and provision. God says, I'll make sure I put something in your life that's real, that you can hold on to and hang on to. You'll dwell in the land. And he said, I'll make sure that I'll take care of your needs in your life. Trust in the Lord and do good. Step number one. Ah, then you'll find next verse. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Did you know that if you're willing to trust him and then take this next step? Because if you've trusted him, you'll find him faithful. Then you'll find the next step is to delight yourself in the Lord. You know what it means to delight? It's an interesting word. It means this. It means to be soft and pliable. It means to be tenderhearted. It means to yield like someone who loves somebody. Now, you know what I'm talking about, fellas, right? You love your wife, right? There's one. Okay. You had a shot right there, guys. You should have taken that, okay? It was a moment of truth, and you let it slip right past you. Let me try that again. You love your wives, right, gentlemen? Okay. Well, it doesn't sound as good when you have to prime the pump. But okay, never mind. Truth is, you love her. You want to do what you can to provide for her and do everything possible to take care of the needs of her life, right? Okay, there's three guys. And so the rest of you will have marriage counseling after church this morning. I'm not saying you give her everything that you want, because you can't do that, but your desire is there because you love this woman. You want to provide the needs that are there. And she has a tender place in your heart that nobody else has, not even the TV. One evening, I pulled in the garage. I forgot to put the garage door down. Went to bed, got up the next morning, walked out in the garage, and the garage door had been up all night with my car in there, with the keys in the ignition. I saw the car, but the first thing I did was I ran around and checked my golf clubs and make sure nobody stole them. The rest of them they can have. I can get another car. Those are my clubs, man. Because those stupid things have a special place in my heart also, but not like my wife. Can't hug a driver, fellas. Trust me now. Doesn't work. When you delight yourself in the Lord, it means, listen now, it means he has a place in your heart nobody else has. And when God, you delight in him and he has a place in your heart no one else has, do you know what he does? Look what it says. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There it is. Blab it and grab it. Say it and pray it. Gimme, gimme, gimme. That verse means God will give you anything you want, right? No, don't shake your head. Yes, please don't do that. It's not Joel Osteen now. This is the Bible, and we're preaching the Word of God, okay? Stay with me for a moment. What it means is that you better hope that God doesn't give you everything your heart ever desired. You ever pull up to a light, it turns green, you start to pull out, and there's someone sitting there at the intersection waiting to turn, and they wait until you get in front of them, and then they turn in front of you. You better hope that God doesn't give me the desires of my heart. There'd be dead people in those cars. Pull out in front of me and I got somewhere to go. You better get out of the cotton picking way, pal. That's all I want to say about that. Stand in line at Walmart. 20 items or less, and this guy's got two baskets full of stuff. You just stand there and go, figure it out, pal. Let me count them for you. You better hope God doesn't give me the desires of my heart. That's not what it means. It means he gives you a new set of desires. He changes what you want. when you treasure him. You put him in a place you don't put anybody else. So I have a hard time with that, Pastor Johnson. Then you better go back to trusting in the Lord. Because, hey, now watch me. If you'll take that first step over here and trust in the Lord and do good, and he provides permanence and provision in your life, you go, man, he's wonderful. Yes, he is. And then you delight in him, and he starts changing what you want in life. Too many people look at the Christian life and they think, well, I'm not going to church every Sunday. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do the goody boy thing. I'm not going to do all that kind of junk because that's just not the way I am. Of course it's not, because you're unsaved. But if you get saved, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God changes your wonder. I'll testify this morning. That man right there testify this morning. I'll testify this morning. Look, an old hippie from the 60s, ladies and gentlemen, had a liberal-minded, wishy-washy way of thinking, and God changed me into an independent, fundamental, soul-winning, separated, King James Bible preaching, hellfire and damnation, Baptist. Now, that's a bridge from where I was in the 60s to where I am today. But I didn't do that change. God did that because I started to delight myself in the Lord. He gave me a new set of wants. Hey, you know how you get victory over bad habits? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. That which you once want, you won't want it anymore. That which you once thought was so important, he'll take that importance for your life. He'll change your priorities. He'll change the way you think. You'll look at life differently now. You know why people are so unhappy with their lives? Because they're so earthly minded. They look at life. They look at the headlines. We just went off the cliff Friday, folks. It's a sequester fiscal cliff. Now people in Washington are saying, oh no, we're going to have to watch how we spend money. Why weren't you doing that all along? It's like, go up there and slap somebody. What is the matter with you people? Anyway, that's free. The truth is, it's insane. No, excuse me. No, you sit there and watch Fox News, CNN, or all HLN, or all the other N's. You watch all the news programs, and you get all knotted up about what's going on around the world, and it just eats you up, doesn't it? California, by summertime, will have the highest gas tax of any state in this union. 70 cents a gallon in taxes by the summer. You know what the answer is? We'll go over there and take over them Arab countries and take their oil away from them. That's what, no, just kidding. But you know what the truth is? Excuse me, I wasn't aware that God died when 70 cent tax on gasoline came in. I'm not going to panic about life. I'm going to be wise at what I do and careful about how I live my life, but I'm not going to panic. The media is not going to panic me in my life. Stuff's not going to happen where I sit around and wonder, well, I'm going to take care of you. Excuse me. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You say, preacher, I just need a little peace. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I just wish I could find forgiveness for people like I need to. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Wish I could get a relationship repaired in my marriage. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Wish I could just wake up in the morning and have a reason to get out of bed and do what I do. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You trust him. You delight in him. But first he has to order your steps. He's got to be the boss, not you. You've got to trust his word enough to believe that what it says in here you ought to do, you do. What it says in there you ought not to do, you don't do that. Let him direct thy steps. He'll order them. You'll find you'll enjoy that. You'll find he takes pleasure in you. You'll find that then I trust him, I delight in him, and my path is on the way. And ladies and gentlemen, you see, but preacher, you don't understand that when you go through deep valleys, you need something else. Something else than what? Something else other than what? May I ask you this morning, what? Oh, I need all my problems to go away. Oh, I see. So you're the one who needs to live life without problems. You're the one. Everybody else can, you know, go through Hades in a handbasket, but you get to have the smooth ship. You don't get to have any problems. Everybody has their problems, ladies and gentlemen. Stuff, that goes with life. You understand? But excuse me, life's not in charge when the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God is. And if he takes you through a valley, then there's grace sufficient for every need. If he takes you to a mountaintop, then he's there to walk all the way with you. If he takes something from you, it's okay because he ordered the Lord. It's ordered. It's not a problem. God designed that. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it will work. God will delight in your way, and you will actually find purpose in your life and enjoyment. But you got to let Him direct your steps. Now then, the real question this morning is this: who's in charge of your life? Are you or God? Well, it's a partnership. Bad partnership. Saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, if God is your co-pilot, you better change seats. He should be driving this thing, not us. We're not going along for the ride. We're simply following Him and His directions. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.